Good morning. The reading today is taken from the Gospel of James, and it's Trials and Temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed to the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises in the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who preserves under trial, perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, but chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Bill, for reading that to us. And we're going to spend some time looking at that together. If I walk around, I'm always in danger of running into things, so move stuff out of the way. There we go. Just going to say a very short prayer for us as we look at that together. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you do speak on helping us to understand the hard things in this life. Father, pray you would minister to us gently and graciously. In Jesus' name, amen. Trials, suffering, are difficult. As we come towards the end of our Foundation in Faith series, we're looking at endurance through trials. And so I'm going to spend most of my time focused on a few verses of our reading. Chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, and then just at the end as well, 12 to 18. But can I just say before I begin that I'm not going to give all the answers to suffering today. I don't think I can ever give all the answers, but I'm definitely not giving all the answers today. And I'm not giving all the answers that the Bible offers either. There are many more texts on this. And whatever I say today does not mean that Christians cannot grieve and lament. If you read the Psalms, the Bible has many Psalms that speak of lament and grief, a way of expressing our biggest and hardest feelings to God. But here we see one aspect of suffering and how it helps the Christian, how it's meant to grow us. And because we're all in together, I'm going to try and use some illustrations that involve the children as well. But again, I'm not making light of the topic this morning. I'm hoping they'll actually help us as well, as we worship all together as God's people, to understand a little bit of what James is saying to us. And it begins with a striking opening. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, has anyone ever had to do a test? Children, have you done tests yet? Have you done an exam? Anyone done an exam before? Hands up for an exam, yeah? Anyone done a music exam? I did one once. I'm terrible at music. It's the most scared I've ever been. Never doing it again. Anyone done a driving test? Done a driving test. Anyone done a test for work? Or like an audit? I was like, yeah, you've been tested. Yeah. Has anyone ever thought on that morning, eating breakfast, pure joy awaits me. My test this morning, the auditors are coming, it's the driving test, pure joy. I doubt it at all. So why does James say this? Why does James say to Christians, you can consider it pure joy? When perhaps our own experience of tests, suffering, hardship, is they seem to rob us of all meaning and purpose. Well, it's what the tests do. And now it's an interesting one, because again, when you read this, you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, if you change that to anything, so for my music exam, Harry, testing of your music exam did not produce perseverance. It produced an anxious mess. That's what it actually produced, to be honest with you. A nervous wreck. That's what it produced. How do we understand what James is saying here? And perhaps a better way of understanding, if you're a nerd, the Greek word, is to think about refinement. And I'm going to try and illustrate refinement with the children and some ball pit balls. Now, hang on, give me a sec. This is actually quite an extensive illustration, so hold on. Just chat among yourselves for a moment. I need to grab all my stuff I've just left lying around here. Right, here we are. Okay, I've got a Lidl bag. Got a Waitrose bag representing Sandbach. Don't know what that is. Oh, centre part. So refining. What is refining? Children, you're gonna have to help me here, because otherwise it's gonna take me forever. So this is that any children can help me, as long as you're careful around the ball pit balls. But here we go. So I'll explain what we have to do, children, then you come and help. So, refining. This is silver. Okay, it's grey, but it's silver. In my bag, I've got silver, but it is not pure silver. It contains with it many culprits. Obviously, these are alloys, you know, they understand metals. I'm not very good at science, but here we go, another thing that's not right. So, children, what we need to do is we need to refine my silver. So you need to come and help me refine it. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and separate out all the things that are not the dark grey balls. And because all of us don't want to be here for very long, the challenge is to do it as quickly as you can. So children, would you like to come out? And can we see? Anyone, any chance, come out? Can you see? Now you can use the bags are there, so you can put in all our other alloys and things. So what you need to do is we're gonna find the bag, so that in here I just have, this is what I need, just these, okay? Are you ready, guys? So start taking everything out. You've got a bucket, you've got a bag. Let's take, not the dark grey ones, the dark ones are gonna stay in there. These, take out everything that's not dark grey. Back in a bag for me. Fill up the buckets. All the dark grey ones, we need to keep refining. In the bags is helpful. Keep refining. Dark grey needs to stay in. I need some more help. Any other children want help? Come on, give me a hand. It's not difficult. I've got bags and balls. You've got to get this. It's actually a bigger bag than I thought. And we're losing half of them anyway. But here we go. We should have. And then all I want in that bag is pure silver. Here we go. How are we doing? We're losing a few. Yeah, that's a toy. That's definitely not a silver. How are we going? Have we got pure silver? We're getting there. Get all the pink ones. Here we go. We're nearly there. Nearly there. Let's go. Let's keep going. Hang on. Oh, yeah, we're getting there. Don't lose the silver. No, don't lose the silver. Here we go. Right. Let's see. We've got 10 seconds to go. Let's see how we can do. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, stay out. Right. Well done, guys. Why don't you sit down? Good job. Right. Thanks to all of them. Apart from a big health and safety hazard, you've done pretty well there. We're nearly there, but we've nearly refined out to have just pure silver. But what does our passage tell us about this refining? What is being refined in faith? We're not being purified as such, but in some respect we're being strengthened. That might be a way of thinking about it. That whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, it strengthens us to keep going. And we let it finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. See, that the refinement of our faith, the testing of our faith, is not meaningless. It helps us to keep going. It helps us to, in the end, become mature and complete. Now, all of us will face hard things and struggles in this life. But as Christians, we might face more. We might be laughed at for our faith, mocked or teased by our friends when we say no to everything else they're doing. Children, this may be true for you. Maybe not at primary school, that might be okay, but I reckon at secondary school it might be harder. As you stand up for being a Christian, I can't promise it will be easy. However, if one of the heartbreaking things of suffering is that it seems to rob us of meaning and purpose, it feels like a meaningless invasion on our lives, James wants to tell us that nothing, nothing with the Lord is wasted. No day, no moment, no event, no incident, no time is wasted. Nothing is pointless for the Christian, because in this, God is working to refine us, to strengthen us, to remove the dross and the impurities of the silver, if you think about it. Just as the children took out those balls, in some respect, God is removing in us those things to strengthen us so we may persevere and keep going. But what is the next thing that testing is doing? So it produces perseverance, it refines us. But then we have verse 12. We're just going to go down to verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, this crown of life is interesting. Again, we might think of a crown as in like a kingly crown. Just going to put the music group in more danger, but there we are. We might think of a kingly crown, but again, that word crown is more like the sports person's, you know, like they had the green wreaths. I don't know if you've ever seen that in a film or something. Yeah, a few nods, good. So that's kind of what we're going in. So again, children, I've got a challenge for you to, again, illustrate this principle. So you have, if you like, there is a prize, actually, children, for this. There is a Dino Dino from Audi, as Audi, representing Audi as well. If you can complete the challenge, if adults want to win a Dino Dino. If you can't have milk, then let me know and I'll try and get something for you next week. But any children like to have a go at my little test here? Not, yeah, obviously my children. Yeah, they're all, come on, Louis. I've still got my children. They're always very useful for this kind of thing. If any other child would like to have a go, right. It's very straightforward, and because, yeah, we'll see how we get on, okay? All you've got to do is hold your hands out like this, nice and straight, for 30 seconds. So put them down for now. Hopefully it'll be okay. I did this morning. I put them down for now, otherwise they're going to start hurting. Right. You got 30 seconds to go, okay? You ready? Steady. 3, 2, 1, go. That's out. Keep them out. Remember, if you keep them out, the prize, the crown that is on offer, is a Dino Dino. How are your arms doing? You getting sore? You got about 20 seconds to go. Can we do it? Don't drop them now. Don't drop them. We're testing their perseverance. Here we go. Right, 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, hey, well done. You have persevered and you won the crown, not of life, but of a Dino Dino. Do you guys want to sit down? Well done. That's really good. Excellent. After service, I'll get you a Noe. I've actually got 20, so if any other children want a Dino Dino, there are no losers at St. Peter's. There's always one for everyone, so... So what did they do? What was the principle there? We had the refining principle, we now have the enduring principle. The test, the 30 seconds of your arms out. Now, they could have, in some respects, ended it early, if given up on the pain and put their arms down. But they kept going to receive that prize. And in this case, it was the prize of the Dino Dino. But what does verse 12 tell us? What is the crown? Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. There is a prize at the end of the Christian life. There is something we look forward to and we hope in. And that is life forever in God's forever kingdom. That is the life in Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on that joy and that hope and that life before us, we pray we keep going. But did you notice, to have that crown, it is to those who love him. So there's not much to do as such, but that love for Jesus, given by the Spirit, that love for Christ, for all he's done for us as we love him. But it does mean one thing, that every trial, every challenge, every moment of suffering, there is a spiritual challenge going on. I wonder what you pray for someone when they're struggling or hurting. I'm sure, like me, and I would do this, obviously, we pray for it to end. So when my son falls over and hurts his knee, we pray for it to get better. We pray for the illness to end, a job to be found to end joblessness, the financial difficulty to be relieved. When evil is done to us, we pray for justice. When a relationship breaks down, we pray for it to be restored. But for all of us, we need to pray one other thing. We need to pray that we keep loving God. That we keep loving Him. It's heartbreaking, but I hear it all the time, when people lose their love of God because of something that's happened. Because of the thing that has challenged their faith, and they say, I can't go to church anymore. I don't believe in God. I don't love Him anymore. And so my prayer for us is that as we know the reality of suffering, and as Christians, I think we will face further challenges for our faith. Jet, Ruby, and Laura, as you get baptized, I'm not promising you an easy life. I'm actually potentially offering you a harder one. Maybe many of us as Christians know that it wasn't easy when we became a Christian, but in some respect became harder. But we are offering life, a crown, eternity. And so again, my prayer for all of us as people who follow Jesus here, if you do say you follow Jesus here, if you do love God, is that at St. Peter's we keep loving God. Obviously, I'd love it to be easy. I love my ministry here to be amazing and for there to be no difficult times and no repeat incidences of buildings burning down, obviously. That's very tough for you guys. Don't want that again, obviously. But ultimately, my real prayer for all of us here is that whatever comes, because I don't know the future, whatever the Lord sends at us, whatever we go through individually, collectively, whatever you suffer for your faith, and again, for me hiding in a study, I think sometimes it's easier than you who go out and go to the workplace. Whatever you face, my prayer is that we keep loving God, that we don't lose sight of His love for us, that we hold fast Him as He holds fast to us, that we receive that crown at the end, that the Lord does the work in us so that we grow into maturity. So that is my prayer, that we endure the test to receive the reward, the crown of life. And finally, just very briefly, as we come to an end, just looking at those 13 to 18, it's a little bit of a wordy section. But really it's saying this, we cannot blame God if we fail, we can only blame ourselves. Because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And now that point of that 13 to 16, when we sin, we blame, no one can say God is tempting me. Is I think the classic, again I've heard this in my own family, but the I did it because He made me do it. Or I did it because of Him. It was His fault, her fault, not my fault. The circumstances we blame. And again, James is telling us we cannot blame God for our failures. It's only ourselves. We cannot go to Him and blame God. I cannot say God made me sin or made me do it as such. Because God is good. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Perhaps it's logically difficult to understand God in total control, but we cannot blame Him for our own failings. But what is clear here is that God is good. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, the gospel, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all He created. Again, I don't think we knew necessarily the baptism was today, but that's another perfect passage that is illustrated by baptism, the new birth, the going down in the waters as we die to our old self, and the rising to new life as someone new in Christ, that new birth through the gospel, that we are spirit-filled people, transformed by Him. As people, God has brought together to keep to the end. So, as we end, trust God is basically what I want to say. I mean, tomorrow, followers of Jesus, I don't know what tomorrow holds for you. I have no idea if it will be the best day of your life or the worst. I don't know what work will be like. I don't know what home will be like. I don't know what doctor's appointment you have. I don't know what will come. But the worst day or the best day, it is not wasted in God's kingdom. God is working in his people to strengthen our faith, to keep us going, so that we may persevere as we are refined. And my prayer for all of us, that we will keep loving God, that our faith will grow, our hearts will love him more, and as we fix our eyes on that crown of life that awaits us, we will keep going, trusting in our good Father. Let me pray for us. Father God, we do not know why things happen. We do not know why things come our way. We cannot always explain the hard things, the trials and the testing that comes. We thank you, Father, that while suffering longs to rob us of meaning and purpose, that in your kindness you can use all things for our good, to change us, to refine us, to strengthen our faith. And Father, I pray as we don't blame you, as we know you are good, that we will keep loving you, knowing that as we endure, as we mature, there is the crown of life ahead of us. So I pray for all of us here who know and trust the Lord Jesus, who are walking that journey of faith, that while it will not be easy, you are at work. And Father, I pray that we will keep loving you to the end, and that one day we'll be gathered together with the crowns of life on our heads, celebrating around the throne of Christ in his forever kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.